Got to have you, Lord, and that's enough. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 46, I just have a message on my heart, a subject on my heart. I'll be preaching the same subject tonight, Lord willing. But I want to preach to you on beholding the sovereignty of God. And I just feel like this may seem simple, but it's a principle within the Pentecostal church that we seldom talk about, because sometimes I feel like maybe we're afraid of talking about the sovereignty of God that makes you a Calvinist. It doesn't. We believe in the sovereignty of God. God knows all things, sees all things, have decreed certain things. And we will discuss that in this message today and tonight. I'm going to answer a few questions I feel like God's going to help us with. Isaiah 46. We're also going to be reading from the book of Daniel chapter 4. Amen. Isaiah 46 and Daniel chapter 4. But Isaiah chapter 46, I'm going to read to you verses 9 and 10. All right, Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Amen. Makes him sound sovereign, doesn't it? Amen. The book of Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to read just two verses here. And we'll discuss this these texts more at the end of the lesson. But this is about Nebuchadnezzar. He says this, his praise unto God. It says in Daniel 4 and verse 34. In the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting, is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest Thou? Amen. I want to pray and ask God just to bless this time together. And I'm going to pray that God will just help you listen and help me preach, and that we just receive what God's laid on my heart. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You in prayer, God, we thank You for this time together, Lord. I know sometimes we can get tired in body, Holy Ghost, but I need Your strength as well as this congregation. God, let our attention be upon Your Word. The most important part of every service, God, is the Word of God when You allow it to be spoken and preached from. God, I just want to I want to magnify You with this sermon, God. I don't have any personal intent in this other than to glorify Your name. I want everybody that's in this room underneath the sound of my voice to leave here, God, with a glimpse, with a understanding of Your sovereignty. God, even though our understanding is limited, God, we never fully understand it. But God, we give You glory for it, God. And we want You to just help us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. In our day, the atheistic generation in which we do live, it is not very popular to say that you believe in God. But I have discovered in study and reading and even watching the news over the years that it's even less popular to say that you believe in the sovereignty of God. Modern thinking begins to encapsulate and begin to think that we enthrone humanity as their own sovereign. I've heard it said over the years that people and individuals that I have met, they believe that they are the own determining factor of their own fate, which means they believe they can do this and they can become this and it shall happen. Some people will tell you that concentrated energy in your life can lead you to untold success, that whatever you put your mind to, that whatever you desire to do, wherever you desire to go, whatever political scale or whatever business scale you try to climb, that you can do it if only you set your mind to it. Often the conversation and the language and the lingo that is used in our day does not make much room for the sovereignty of God in the age in which we live. There are popular sayings such as, this is my life, or this is my body, and I'm going to do what I want to do. People often say in this world that they are going to go where they want to go, that they will do almost anything they desire to do, and they never mention the sovereignty of God within their life. I like what one gentleman said, and I quote, he said, I find the perception of the sovereignty of God in this modern generation He said, the moral and modern contemporary age in which we live no more resembles the Almighty of the Scriptures than a 15-watt light bulb resembles the glory of the noonday sun. What he is saying is, the way people often view God is as this limited being, a nice option in their life, where he's almost just this fixture, this person that does not have any sovereignty. And as I've already said this in my opening, Pentecostals at times avoid discussing the sovereignty of God in its full detail because they instantly feel like at times, not saying everybody, but they feel like at times if you begin to discuss the sovereignty of God, if you begin to discuss God's sovereignty in working the life of humanity, that instantly that you are agreeing with the Calvinists. They will say such things that you're now agreeing with predestination and unconditional election and those type doctrines. But I can tell you today that as a Pentecostal minister, I can preach the sovereignty of God and still believe that I have a free will. That God is still sovereign, and that in His sovereign mind and in His sovereign decree, He has given us a free will. That is just as much the sovereignty of God as anything. So understand today, as we are looking at this, that we must understand that when we're going through these factors and understanding that we today are not here to debate the sovereignty of God. We must believe that God is sovereign, and everybody must say amen to that. And we must understand that God does what He wants to do. There's no way that He's going to have to come for anybody's permission. God does what He wants to do, and if it pleases Him, He can do those things. So today, we're not here to debate God's sovereignty. We're not going to talk about man's responsibility this morning, because God's sovereignty and man's responsibility is a different subject that we can discuss at another time. But today, what I want to do, I want you to behold the sovereignty of God, and that God is sovereign, and nobody can stand beside Him or against Him. And the Bible says, not in just those few texts that I read to you, but over and over again, we find the Bible says that God does what He wants to do. That God is going to do what He wants to do, and it doesn't matter my theology or your theology, God does what He wants to do. That's all it is to it. He is sovereign, He can decree things, and He is God Almighty. And I'm going to be honest with you, I can't fully grasp the sovereignty of God. I am finite. I am human. And when I look at the attributes of God, my understanding is still limited. All I know is what the Bible says. And when I read the Bible, there I can try to grasp and pull a few verses of Scripture together that highlights the attributes and the character of God. So there's three questions about the sovereignty of God that I'm going to deal with this morning and tonight. Number one, the first question is, what is the sovereignty of God? Number two, why is it a problem for some people to believe this? And number three, what difference does it make to you and I if we believe in the sovereignty of God or not? This morning I will deal with the very first question. What is the sovereignty of God? A wonderful definition of this is simply this. It is the right of God to govern and control the universe which He has created. He is the Creator God, and therefore it is His right to govern that universe and do as He pleases. He made this world so He can operate in this world as He desires. He does not need anybody to vote or try to change Him. Don't you ever think that you just can change God. He's God. You understand, people say, well, I can pray and change the mind of God. No, you can pray and God can honor your prayers. But you cannot twist the arm of God or manipulate the Godhead in some form or fashion where you can change His divine counsel. When God wants to do something, He will do it. When God has set limitations, He has done that sovereignly, and He can set limitations. If God desires to answer this prayer over here and not this prayer over here, God has the right to do that because God is a sovereign God. My brothers and sisters, that's why we must, everyone in this room, must fall back into His arms of His sovereignty. Because in life, if you try to feel or try to manipulate the gospel to fit within your agenda or your mindset, to think that we are responsible and that God is not, we will always be depressed and discouraged. I fall
fall into the sovereign arms of God and know that God is sovereign. He created this world. He has a right to govern this world. He created every nation that is in existence. He was there. He saw it. And he has a right to govern and move any way that he pleases. I would go as far to say as this. God's attributes demand that he is sovereign. Humanity does not have the right to be sovereign because we do not have the attributes in which to sustain us in that sovereignty. You do not have the power. You do not have the intellect. You do not have the judgment. You do not have the balance and all those things. Derek Jones is not sovereign, and neither are you. And I don't care how many kings have sat on the thrones of different kingdoms and have renounced themselves or said to themselves that they are the sovereign of the world. I will tell you this. There is only one sovereign in this world, and that one sovereign is God Almighty. We know God is all-powerful. He is almighty. He is omnipotent. He is supreme. We know that God is transcendent. He surpasses the ordinary. There is none above him. There is none beyond him. There is none like him. He has all the supremacy in the world. He can do what he wants to do. And if you would like another good definition is this. The sovereignty of God is the exercise of his supremacy. He has all these things. So he has the right to be sovereign. Amen. You say, well, that's a lot to think about. Yes, it is. He's God. And all we can say today, brothers and sisters, is this. We know that he is sovereign. We know that he is God. We know that he has all power. And he is a ultimate being that can do this. I was thinking as I was studying for this. Can you imagine God being subject to someone? Can you imagine God asking permission to do something? I want you to think about that. Imagine the almighty, all-powerful God coming to somebody and say, I want to know if I can do this or not. That don't even sound right. Or can you imagine God not having the answer and having to go to somebody or a scientist or a counselor and to get counsel of somebody and how to operate in this world? Does that sound like a sovereign God to you? What I'm trying to say to you today is this. It is simple. God needs to ask no permission. You can only imagine what's it said. Can you imagine him applying to a higher power? It does not exist. He doesn't need the counsel of men or angels or demons. He is God and he is sovereign and him alone. Isaiah 46, my text we read today. Let's look at these verses. He said, for I am God and there is none else. Amen. Look, all these other people saying they're worshiping gods, they're not gods. There's only one God. They're gods with a lower G. What they are, they're demons. They're lesser beings. He said, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Nobody else is like the God that we serve. Muhammad is not like the God that we serve. Buddha is not like the God that we serve. There is not a country or a nation or a religion or a person. The Pope is not like the God that we serve. There is only one sovereign God. He said, there is none like me. There's none that's just like, there's nothing like him in the universe. There is only one God. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. Can God predestinate if he wants to predestinate? Yes, he can. You say, Brother Derek, has God predestinated certain things? Yes, he has. God can predestinate. But we understand, once again, we're not getting in human responsibility. It's another doctrine. We know that God has given us a free will and we can choose and all these things. But don't you put it past God of being able to predestinate an event in your life. God can work in your life in ways, the prevenient grace of God can work in ways that you don't even comprehend. He's worked at times you didn't even know he was working. He is sovereign. I remember I was praying about this message and what to share with you as a church. I remember there was a season in my life when I was not saved. And I remember I went to a youth camp and I had prayed and I said I got saved, but obviously I didn't. Because I went home and I was trying to make decisions and I just went right back to the world like it was nothing. But I will tell you this. Those times I would have these experiences at youth camp, it got tougher and tougher and more difficult to get away from what I was feeling. God was orchestrating things in my life. Not that he forced me to be saved.
But he did predestinate and allow some things to come into my life that it began to get my attention. But guess what? If he wants to take a Jonah and bring a storm just to get his attention, then create a fish for the fish to swallow him, God can do it. Why? Because he's sovereign. Yeah, Jonah, you may think you're going to Tarshish, but he can take a fish and take you the other direction just as quick. Why is that? He didn't need to ask Jonah's permission, did he? Now, it doesn't mean Jonah couldn't got off on that shore and said, well, I'm not going to preach. God would have done something else. If God would have slain him, God could have done so without asking permission. Everybody with me? So it doesn't mean that God forces himself. But it means this: God can orchestrate events in your life where you're so miserable and you're such a wreck and you're so sorry that you just wish, you know what, that you can look up to Christ and you have to say, I can either serve Jesus and get better, or I can continue in sin and things will just keep getting worse and worse and worse. I felt like God did that in my life. I remember I came home from that youth camp and I said, you know what, I was sitting there, I said, I'm going to try to do a little better. My phone rings. It's the buddies down at the local pool hall. There was a little pool hall by the river. Only cost a quarter to play pool. We'd go down there and we would drink and party and all these things all wee hours of the morning. So it was about 12 o'clock. I said, you know what? I'm going to go. I remember getting in my vehicle. I remember I used to wear a big old thick chain around my neck, put my chain on, and had my Bob Marley shirt on. I'm going to go down to the local pool hall and I'm going to have a good time. I remember this. I went down Happy Home Road and took a left down Ryland Road. All I know is when I took a left down Ryland Road, I had a plastic bag in the back seat of my car. The windows was up in the vehicle, and that bag started making noises. I turned the AC off. I said, the wind's blowing that bag. I said, the windows are up. You know what? I don't know what it was to this day. People say you may be superstitious, but I'll tell you what I did do. I pulled over on the side of the road. I took an expensive chain off my neck. I threw it in the woods. I went back home, I got in my pajamas, and I went to bed that night. People say, well, you're just superstitious. I'll tell you this, at that moment, I felt like God was chasing me. I didn't surrender at that moment. It did not stop there. The hounds of heaven have been loosed on me. I continued in sin for a season, yes. But I tell you this, I used to do this one thing. I would pray through about it at youth camp. When I would go home, I couldn't do it anymore. And so I was a sinner that started off on drugs that I didn't feel, I felt so convicted about the drugs, I quit doing that. So I turned to alcohol, and I got so convicted about the alcohol that I'm sitting there thinking, look, everything in my life, I feel like God is chasing me. That's what I felt like. What it was, he's sovereign. He's everywhere. Where could I escape from his presence? Where could I go to get away from his conviction? Could I have looked at him and said, no, I'm not going to serve you? I believe it got to a point, and I'm not exaggerating this, I believe it got to a point that I remember God speaking to me in the altars where he told me, you will serve me or you will not live at all, is what I felt in my heart. I felt heaven screaming at me. What it was, God had the right to do that in my life. He didn't ask for my permission. I often tell people I felt like if I continued in my sins, I would either today be completely crazy, strung out on drugs, or even more so, I'd be dead and in hell. I felt that way. How does God have the right to convict me when I want to go to the pool hall? Who is he to interrupt me? He's God. If I want to do drugs, what right is it of he to try to interfere in my life? He is God. What I'm trying to say to you is this: the sovereignty of God has worked in your life without you even knowing it at times. You thought it was you that took a left down the road when you could have gotten in the car wreck. It was God. You thought it was for you who slowed you down for leaving for work. It was God. You thought it was you who got saved when you wanted to get saved. The Holy Ghost came. It was God that convicted you. Yes, you had to say yes to him. Yes, you had to yield to conviction. But at that moment, he created a storm. He created a fish for Jonah. He can create one for you. So whatever your background is, you must admire and acknowledge the sovereignty of God. Don't think today you're sitting here because of your own intellect and rational thinking. You would be in hell today if it wasn't for his sovereignty. You don't know how many demons he's held back that wanted to destroy your mind. And when the demons wanted to come in and torment your mind and ruin your marriage and destroy your family, God stood up and overruled him. Why? Because he's sovereign. Yeah. And the devil didn't have to argue. The devil didn't sit there and have a platform of discussion. When God speaks to him, it doesn't matter what situation. He decrees it gone. And guess what? Every imp of hell trembles at the sovereignty of God. The book of James lets us know even they believe and they tremble. Why is that? Because there is a sovereign being, and that sovereign being is the one and only Jehovah God that we worship as believers and as Christians. He is sovereign. He needs no counsel of humanity. Be careful how much you get involved in politics. He's the sovereign one. Be careful how much you get depressed about this and depressed about that. Where is your view of the sovereignty of God? Do you not believe He can orchestrate things to your good? If He can orchestrate them to your demise, He can orchestrate them to your good. That's why Paul could say, I know that all these things will work out to the good of those who love Him. What I'm saying is this, brothers and sisters, we serve a sovereign God. Notice this. It declares the end from the beginning and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say to His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Nobody has the right to look at God and say, what are you doing, God? Amen. It's all right to come to Him with questions of wondering, but nobody has the right to boastfully stand before the counsel of God and like, what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing, God. Are you serious? Would you be that bold to look at God and to say He does not know what He is doing and what He's allowed in your life? See, when you get the proper view of the sovereignty of God, everything else comes into perspective. When you get the right view of the sovereignty of God, we can understand, even in a fallen world, living among fallen people, where fallen people do evil things, God can take evil situations and bring something beautiful out of it. How can He do that? Because He is sovereign. Notice what it said there, I read to you. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven. I quote to you from one of the commentators. He says, God orders the angels, which are the host of heaven, to stand or go where He pleases. He disposes of men on earth and puts them into such stations and such conditions and circumstances, and appoints them to such business and services as He thinks meet. The angels, the army of heaven, or the heavenly host, so called for their number, there being legions of them, of this great company, for their military use, being employed to fight for the people. He can send them to a camp around about you. He is sovereign. He knows all things. Even the angels obey His sovereignty. So is it safe to say today, basically, God does what He pleases? Is that all right? He does what He pleases. And we look at this and can understand, because David says in Psalms 135 and 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all the deep places. He does what He wants to do. You know, we do things we want to do at times, and that's not always good. Come on, what I'm saying is, there's people that have done things, well, I wanted to do this. Doesn't mean it's always right. I wanted this, and you got it. Doesn't mean that you really needed it. I wanted this, and I wanted that, and I'm going to do what I please, and all this. But you know, when God does what He pleases, it's always good and always right. He never has a mess up. He never misses the bullseye. He's always 100% accurate in what He does. Every judgment, every time He shows grace, every time He shows mercy. You know, if God was to judge a man right now for his sins and that man was to drop dead, God did it at the right time, because He knew that man, even futuristically, would not do this or do that, because He's God. He has foreknowledge. He sees it all. And can you say our God's a great God yet? He's sovereign. He has the right to have rule and jurisdiction in your life. Why does people argue with that? I don't know if the will of God, or what the will of God is, the best thing for me. It don't look right now. God can see it all. When God tells you to do something you don't understand, or you get your calculator out and you're trying to, God, it just don't add up, but God spoke to you to do it the whole time. You're telling God, I don't know. God knows exactly what you can do and what's going on in life. He is sovereign. I want you to look with me real quick. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to share a few more things with you. We can get through this first question this morning, and we're going to leave it there. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 6. I want you to go there. While you're going there, I'm going to give you the setting of this. Jehoshaphat is now being come against as a leader. He's being come against with all these different nations. This is the prayer. Jehoshaphat asked these questions in prayer in 2 Chronicles 20 and 6. I'm going to show you a prayer and I'm going to show you the answer. 2 Chronicles 20 and 6. It says, and this is what it says. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Do you see these questions Jehoshaphat is asking God? You know what he's asking right here? It is a prayer, and he's asking God simply this. God, aren't you sovereign? Don't you see what's taking place right now in my life? Don't you see the enemy has set the battle in array? Don't you see, God? Don't you see the kingdoms and the heathen? And aren't not the hand, there's not power and might, so there's none able to withstand thee? And guess what? We have an answer in the Bible, and it's not a direct answer to this question. But David says this in 1 Chronicles 29 and 11, and listen. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted, hid above all. So Jehoshaphat wants to know, God, are you sovereign? And David's already said it years before. Yes, he is. He is all powerful. He is all majesty. He was letting us know, no matter what the situation, God is sovereign. So maybe you're like Jehoshaphat this morning. You're looking around and you see chaos and problems and troubles and situations, even in your own life. Who doesn't fear the phone call from the doctor that you've got cancer or you're sick? I thought about this here recently because, you know, I'm 30 years old now. That means my parents are getting older. You know, right now it's actually in my mind futuristically. How am I you know, talking to my brothers a little bit and sister, I got to talk. How we got to take care of them in the future? You know why? Because I know one day my mother and father, the Lord Terry's, is going to pass away. Many of you have already experienced things such as that. I'm not guaranteed that my wife or my children will always be with me. I'm not guaranteed that. I'm not guaranteed to be with y'all. But in the midst of tragedy and situation where the battle's in front of you, and we feel like Jehoshaphat, and we're saying, God, are you not sovereign? Are you not in the heavens? We can say with David, oh Lord, you are great. And even in the midst of tragedy, you can move in my life because you are sovereign. Last point here this morning. I read to you out of the book of Daniel, and I want you to go to Daniel chapter 4. I want you to follow me here. Daniel chapter 4. We're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar right here. And we're going to figure out about the sovereignty of God in his life. Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked king of Babylon. Isn't it amazing how God can use these wicked men as tools of chastisement for the children of Israel? He can do the same today. But notice here. Here, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had this dream of this great tree with all the shade and all these fruits and all these birds and everything. And guess what? He has this dream and he calls all the wise men and the soothsayers unto him to interpret the dream. Why did he wait to get Daniel? I'll never know. He's tried this before. We look at this and Daniel comes and he interprets the dream unto Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what it says. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is 4:24 of Daniel. That this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat the grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth whomsoever he will. The reason Nebuchadnezzar had to be judged, because he did not recognize the sovereignty of God. Daniel said, you're going to be judged. Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be snatched off your throne.
You're going to be thrust into the pastures of the cattle. And you're going to live like an animal. You're going to grow feathers like an eagle and claws like an eagle. And you're going to eat grass for 7 years until you acknowledge that God is sovereign. Isn't that a pretty clear warning? What would you do in that situation? Wouldn't you say that God is sovereign? But Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't listen. He's walking through his palace one day. And he says unto himself, is not this great Babylon, all its beauty and glory? And begin to ascribe all of Babylon's riches and glory to himself. And at that moment, while the words was in his mouth, God took that man off a throne and threw him into a pasture. And he lived like an animal for several years. Did he need Nebuchadnezzar's permission to do so? Maybe Nebuchadnezzar would say, God, who are you to take me off my throne and to treat me like this and to transform me into a beast? You're not going to do that, God. You're not going to make me like a beast. Yes, you are, Nebuchadnezzar. I'm God, and I said I'm going to do it until you learn to give me glory for my kingdom and my sovereignty. End of those years, notice what happened. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. This is our last text today. And mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High God. That'd be one way to start worshiping Him. If God took you and made you live like an animal for several years, and guess what? He restored you. I bet you would praise God then. You know, sometimes for some people it takes drastic measures. Hear me today. It takes drastic measures for some people to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. Yeah, I'm going to live my own life. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Yeah, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go that. I'm going to live just like I want to. God may put you in a wheelchair if He has to. God may do that. Well, God's a loving God. Yes, He is. But He's a God of wrath and judgment as well. He knows you and knows how to judge you. Here it is at the end of the days. He said, I bless the Most High. I praise and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. You know what Nebuchadnezzar basically did? God, You're sovereign. You're sovereign. He goes on our last verse in Daniel 4:35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? You bring that into context? Nebuchadnezzar saying this, God, You gave me a dream. You warned me that You were going to do this to me. If I didn't. And notice when Daniel interpreted the dream in Nebuchadnezzar, you know what Daniel said unto him? He said, won't you start being merciful and pray? Maybe God will change this, Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe God will change your fortune. Maybe it'll stay His hand. Oh, not Nebuchadnezzar in his pride. He lifted up his voice. And God took that man and put him in a field like an animal. And in the 7 years, brought him out in the field. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? Praise the Lord. He's sovereign. Sometimes it takes drastic lessons for people to admire His sovereignty. So God, what does God want from us in 2017? Number one, He wants us to realize that He will do what He pleases. He's going to do what He wants to do. He don't have to come to you and I for that permission. And so that's what the sovereignty of God is. Now, once again, we're not getting into human responsibility, but I want you to understand this today. I don't want you to behold man this morning. I want you to behold God. He's sovereign. Stand to your feet. He's sovereign in this universe. He's sovereign in this world. And no wonder it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a sovereign God. God help us. Do you know everybody in this room right now that God is sovereign in your life? Even if you're serving Him or not. What I mean by this, you can even be a sinner and God's going to judge you one day. Everybody that's in this room, you will stand before this sovereign God. I don't care what your background is or where you're from. Everybody in this room will stand before the sovereignty of God. You'll stand before Him. And this all-powerful being will look at you. And you better be there with the blood of Jesus applied to your life, knowing that God has worked things to the good of those that love Him, keep His commandments. But oh, so today what I want to do in this altar call, I'm not going to have you come around the front. I was praying. I try to pray about the altar calls I give sometimes. I wish I need to put more effort in it. But I was praying about this altar call today. I said, God, how do I present this to the church in the altar call? And I felt the Holy Ghost just put these words in my heart. It's simple. This is not an emotional pull on your thoughts. I have simply reminded you of the sovereignty of God. And this will promote two things in your heart, one or the other. If you're a sinner here today, if you're rebellious, this ought to put a fear in your heart to know that God is sovereign and sees every single thing about your life and will judge you. When God judges you, it would be with complete knowledge. You never, ever, 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 ever pull the wool over God's eyes. You know, you ever find this amazing? There's certain things we won't do in front of other humans. Certain people won't in front of other humans. They don't mind doing behind closed doors. You know what that is? It shows that you fear man more than you fear God. Because guess what? God's in the room of your home. He don't need the password to your cell phone. He don't need the password to your email account. He don't need to see what you've been watching on TV. He don't need access to your hard drive. He knows you. And the face of God is always present. He's sovereign and knows all. And when He judges you and convicts you, you best know when He convicts you, my Lord, at that moment when He convicts you, He's convicting you because He knows the urgency of the moment in your life. When God tells you to get something out of your life, He's doing that from a sovereign platform. Hallelujah. Amen. So this will promote either, number one, fear in your life. But if you're a believer today, this will promote a greater reverence and worship in your life. God's sovereign. God's sovereign. Tonight we're going to discuss another aspect of this, of why people wrestle with it and the problem with evil and suffering and the orchestrating of events. But God is sovereign today. And right now, what I want to do in this altar call, this time of worship, I want you individually, I'm compelling you right now, out of your own heart, I want you, if you're saved, I want you to worship a sovereign God right now. Thank Him for the events that worked out to your good. Thank Him for all these things. Ask Him to help you understand problems, situations. But if you're lost here today, I want to let you know there's a sovereign God that when you leave here, if He was to strike you dead in your seat, He could do it and be justified because He is sovereign. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father,